Good morning, friends. Nice that you're still here. Thank you. Some of you may have instinctively or habitually right away dropped into your practice right now and your eyes are closed. And that's fine if that's where you are right now. If you haven't yet closed your eyes, I'd like us to just practice with our eyes open for a bit. And I will give this opportunity toward the end as well of our practice period. At the end, it'll have a different feel than what we'll do right now, but it's just different ways we can integrate sight into our practice. And so once you've settled into your practice posture, take a few moments to look around the room. And at first, it could be quite casually. We're not making eye contact with others. We're just noticing where our eyes land. And notice how you may notice objects. If you feel supportive, you could even mentally note what the objects are, like cushion, bell, chair. And now a little bit more systematically, turn your head side to side and go as far as your neck will allow. Not forcing it. And then the other side, taking your time. Notice any feelings that might arise with, say, a stretch in the neck or your eyes landing on something that you perceive as pleasant or unpleasant. When your head is back forward, you could also look up and down. And all the while, remembering that you have a body sitting here or laying here, breathing. And for some of us, it's also a helpful reminder to know where the doors and windows are. So if that could be supportive for you, you might take a look behind you. Just remind yourself, yes, the door is still there. Or identifying which windows have the blinds up so that if you might want to rely on sight during your practice, you know where you could access trees through the eye door, for example. And then coming back forward, eyes turned downward, not necessarily closed. Take a moment to feel what's in the body now. How did practicing with sight, even for just a few moments, impact the body, your internal landscape? If you do want to practice with your eyes closed, you can close the eyes now or keep them downward with that soft gaze. And in this morning's practice, I'll guide and the guidance will lightly fade so that you'll have some time for self-guidance toward the end of this practice period. And I'll simply be highlighting some of the things I mentioned last night and other things mentioned already throughout the retreat, ways we can practice. And And as you settle and arrive here, tune into how the body is resting. And at first, that might be just simply knowing you're sitting, if you're seated, or knowing that you're reclined, if you're lying down, or standing. You may notice qualities like hardness and softness, heaviness or lightness, a pressing down and a lifting away. As you do this, keeping your attention like a light touch, not needing to furrow your brow and concentrate really hard. It's a light touch, a simple knowing. At the same time as you tune into the body pressing down into the ground, into your support, sense how you're being supported by the ground and earth, that it's gently pressing up, holding your body, supporting you. And then becoming curious. Imagine your inner landscape is like that of a snow globe, and that when you arrive to this retreat or this practice period, that snow globe was shaken up because of maybe your yogi job, or you might have had to rush to get into the hall. Without judgment, but with curiosity, how much settling is available to you right now? How much do those flakes in the snow globe settle? And although complete settling might seem pleasant, it's not necessarily the goal, nor accessible to all of us. So we're opening up with curiosity, what is available to me right now? Or what is here right now? If you haven't already, invite the quality of kindness to accompany you on this journey or in this practice. And we're planting the seed for it to arise. It may or may not show up. But intending to be kind. And when you're ready, you can turn your attention as a way to gather it around an anchor. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about turning toward the breath. And if you do that, you might be tuning into the body breathing. You may notice or get really curious about the qualities of the breath. Is it long? Is it short? Is it smooth or choppy? It's very possible that when we turn our attention to the breath, it feels like the breath gets shy. Suddenly, we breathe in a shallow way, only in the chest, or it's hard to notice the breath. If that's what's happening for you right now, then maybe the breath isn't the doorway into your mindfulness right now. And so instead, you might choose a different anchor, like a part of your body, perhaps just the hands or just the feet. Noticing all of the sensations that come through and how they make it stronger or weaker, less intense, more intense. Or yet again, you might choose to follow sound. Using sound as your anchor and noticing how does it impact your body? Or how does it manifest in the body as sensations? And so choosing one of these anchors and gathering your heart and mind around it, staying close to it like you would perhaps a good friend. Gentle touch. A simple knowing. I'm most likely late in letting you know that the mind will wander. And when it does, which is a totally normal occurrence, there's nothing wrong with a wandering mind. And so when you do notice that the mind has wandered, before replacing your attention onto your anchor or yanking it back, I've heard Sharon Salzberg call that moment the magic moment, that moment of noticing. In that moment, notice, if possible, how you speak to yourself, how you speak to the mind that has wandered. There are an infinite number of ways that you can speak to yourself. And as best you can it align with kindness? Being kind to the mind that has wandered and gently replacing or redirecting your attention again and again and again and again to your anchor. Invite your body and your mind to relax, just in case it tensed up. You can do that by simply doing a broad body scan, relaxing any parts that got tense, or silently telling yourself, "May this body relax. May I relax." And if it feels supportive, relax your effort. Begin to loosen your grip if you have one on your anchor, so that now your other senses are also open, or more open than just a moment ago. And that when a smell or a sensation or a thought arises, they're no longer distractions that are taking you off the path, but they're now included as part of the path. So you may be noticing or following your breath, and then a thought arises or a sensation. You might do a gentle touch, acknowledging it, maybe even spending a couple moments being curious. Oh, wow, how is this thought or sensation arising right now in my body? And then when it's no longer compelling, returning to your original anchor. And practicing in this way can really become like a dance, where you're dancing between the senses, all the while staying anchored in the body. Or perhaps like wild grass gently blowing in the wind, moving from an anchor to one of the senses and back again. All the while, mindfulness as your companion. you're interested in the last minute or two of this practice, you can gently blink your eyes open if they're closed. And at first, keep your gaze downward and practice this dance between sensing your body sitting or laying here and whatever your eyes are landing on right now. You may lift your gaze a little higher and practice seeing while also being mindful of your body. And try to tune into the subtle but very distinct difference between looking and seeing. I'll ring the bell 3 times in just a moment. And as best you can, take in the sound of the bell as a whole body experience. And so I wanted just to share a few words on practice before we go into some practical things about announcements and things. So the way that I guided this morning's practice is very reflective of my personal practice. I really try to keep this relaxed vibe, this light touch. So I use those words a few times, a light touch, a simple knowing. And the reason why I practice like that now is because for many years I practiced in this pretty intense, although I don't know if it was meant to be intense. I think that's just a part of my personality. It's like you give me instructions, notice the rise and fall of the breath at the belly, got it. You know, and I was like, really good. That was when I was way more of a perfectionist than I am now. And so I was really intense about my practice, where it almost felt exhausting as much as it was rewarding. You know, and so it felt very effortful, but I knew it was good. So I kept at it. And the inner landscape felt like tense. It was just hard. But I didn't know any better. It was like I'm meditating, so I'm doing something good. So I didn't realize that there was another way to practice. And I was filling out the Dharma Seed information for my talk last night, and then perhaps I was a little late. I was like, oh, this retreat is called Journey into the Refuge. That's when I noticed. And so I thought... and then I thought, oh, refuge, you know, I love that word, refuge. I didn't always know what it meant. I speak French and English, and so sometimes I get confused with some vocabulary. And so I remember hearing the word refuge a lot when I would come to to retreats. And then I needed to look it up to really understand it. And the definition I found online was something like shelter from storms or whatnot. And then I thought of home, because that's often where, if I am in some sort of caught in a storm, it's like I often want to just go home or something like that. But this was the case for me for a few years. Home is not always a refuge for folks. It doesn't feel like a safe place to go to. And even if you are one of the ones for whom it is a safe place for you, we still do need a refuge for our heart and mind. All that our body holds, all the fears and tensions and just the things that come up in life and get lodged into our bodies. And so we do need a refuge for that. And for me, that's the practice. And many elements that we're doing on this retreat, like the chanting, the bowing. And so when I put that together, I recognize that, oh, my internal landscape doesn't actually feel like a refuge. It feels like, I don't know, maybe like school. It's like a place I went to, I got things done, I tried to be really good, and then I left, or something like that. And so I knew, and I was talking a little bit about this last night in the teacher's lounge, of how, like, in my first few years of practice, I knew how I was practicing wasn't actually serving me. And I was sharing just really briefly, maybe I'll tell you at another time, but like my partner at that time and my mom, I don't know if it was a planned thing, but it was like an intervention where they were like, you do all this meditation, but you're like really mean and impatient. And then my reaction was like, you don't know what you're talking, you know, like I hit them back with exactly what they were pointing out. But I, all that to say is I knew something needed to change. And so it was how I decided that I didn't want to give up practice, because it did feel like to some extent at that refuge. But how, like, what was the home I was building for myself, basically? And I think of around that time, I had practiced in Burma with Sayadaw Tijaniya. And there's one description that he gave that I, that was so simple yet so palpable for me. And he said, and he wasn't even talking to me. I think I was like too shy to ask him questions. But he had said this to another yogi about effort. And he said, well, when you're practicing, you don't actually need that much effort. It doesn't need to be like a hard hit. You don't need to like slap your hand on some, on the breath and be like, I'm mindful of it, you know? And so what he invited us to do, and you can follow along, is to bring all 10 fingertips together. And then you can close your eyes or look away from your fingertips. But just try to sense into how much knowing you need to have in this moment to be mindful of your fingertips touching. And then you could lower your hands. And it may be different for folks, but for a lot of us, we didn't necessarily need to firmly press our fingertips together until they're white to know that they're touching. We didn't need to furrow our brows and really look at the fingertips to know that they're touching. You know, but just the simple knowing, this light touch. And that's what has been really helpful, that light touch on whatever is arising, whether pleasant or unpleasant, that light touch. Because when I was practicing in that intense way, I didn't realize it, but I was really good at being close to my anchor, but I was so focused on it that I wasn't present for all of the different ways life was making itself known or arising around that anchor. So although concentrating on an anchor is really helpful in providing us a foundation, at some point that relaxing, that opening up, really helps to facilitate this listening that I've been alluding to and that we'll continue to allude to throughout the retreat, I think, knowing just how folks up here teach. So just that listening for me really comes with that opening. And then again, with that opening, I think of Budo, that open flower, or the hand supporting the fist for that opening. So that's all I wanted to share around practice. So just if it feels supportive for you, it might not be today. Perhaps you still feel like you're navigating sleepiness or desire, and Gulu will touch on that this evening. So if you're navigating a whole bunch of things and practicing in this light touch kind of way doesn't feel supportive yet, that's okay. Table it, maybe for later today or tomorrow. But it's always available for you. It'll wait for you whenever you're ready. That's what I love about so much of this practice. And if ever you forget, one great way to remember is just by simply bringing your fingertips together again. And you could maybe even start your practice like that and be like, oh yeah, light touch. And then you drop into your practice. Thank you for your attention and for laughing at my jokes. Always feels good. Okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.